Welcome into the 216 podcast. I am Keith Klein, your host, and on today's show, we have a lot to get through, so let's get going. First, let's start off with some news. Antonio Brown, yeah, it doesn't stop. He has filed a second grievance with the NFL regarding the helmet issue. He wants to wear a helmet that he wore for his entire career. He lost his grievance, so he's decided to play with the conditions he's been given. Play with the helmet he has. Good for him. He was going to retire if he hadn't gotten his way, but he came to his senses and seen the light. Let's all be happy for Antonio Brown. He just made $30 million and got his way out of Pittsburgh, thinking Oakland was going to be better for him. He's up to his same old tricks. I don't understand him. He's a diva, but when you are as good a player as Antonio Brown, I guess teams will put up with more than usual. To me, Antonio Brown is a good receiver, I guess, but is he the best receiver I've ever seen? No. He's not a Jerry Rice. He's not a Michael Irvin. He's good, but he's not at that caliber yet. Moving on to someone who won't be playing in the NFL, Andrew Luck, abruptly retired at the age of 29 on Friday evening. It was announced via Twitter during the preseason game, and the fans booed him out of the building. Yes, booed him out of the building when they got word that he was going to retire. Do I agree with the fans booing him? Yes, I do. Why? Because this is a fan base that was under the assumption they were a Super Bowl team. They finally had everything right. They had a stud receiver, they had a stud wide offensive line, and an adequate running back. The only thing that was missing was the quarterback. So, Andrew Luck retires because he's had 5 injuries in 3 years. Was drafted in 2012, number 1 overall pick, being the heir apparent to Peyton Manning. Everybody thought he was going to win Super Bowls, numerous Super Bowls. Didn't happen. 4 playoff trips, 1 AFC title game, where they lost to the Patriots. Andrew Luck will be remembered for a lot of things, one of which will not be winning. He did not live up to the expectations, did not live up to the hype, and Indianapolis fans are upset, and I would be too. But you know what? I wouldn't be upset at Andrew Luck more than I would be upset at the ownership and the front office. They never gave Andrew Luck, up until this season, what he needed to succeed. They never gave him an adequate offensive line. They never gave him a good running game and or receivers. Until this year. But guess what? It was too late. So, Andrew Luck retires. Rides off into the sunset at age 29. And the Colts turn to Jacoby Brissett. Good luck to them. They will get the number 1 overall pick, if not this year, next year, and draft Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson. And he will be given the same hype and the same expectations as a Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. Can he live up to it? I don't think so. It's not every day you find the next Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. So, let's stop. Let's stop comparing kids to all-time greats. Let's stop comparing kids to the Bradys, the Mannings, the Rodgers, the Favres. Let them be them. Let them be their own player. Stop comparing, because when you do that, you get let down as an organization and as a fan base. Indians notes, Jose Ramirez is out 5 to 7 weeks with a broken bone in his left hand. This happened against Kansas City in the final game of the series, where the Indians took 2 of 3. He will be back in time for the playoffs, provided we make the playoffs. We are, as it stands right now, 3 games in back of the division behind the Minnesota Twins and a half game up on the Oakland Raiders in the wild card. If the season were to end today, we would play Oakland in the wild card game. Who would I start in the wild card game? That's a tough question. It would either be Shane Bieber or Mike Clevinger. I can't decide who yet. I like both for different reasons. I like Shane Bieber because he shows no emotion on the mound. He reminds me of a young Corey Kluber. He goes out there, he does his job, he gets the job done. Clevinger, I like because he reminds me of an energetic Bauer, only not as goofy. We all remember how Bauer was when he was here. He had to have everything his way, his own system, his own workout. That's not Clevinger. Clevinger pitches like Bauer, but he doesn't act like Bauer. There's a difference. So who would I have starting that 1-game playoff? I don't know. If I had to pick right now, I would probably say Shane Bieber. Because he, like I said, shows no emotion on the mound. He goes out there, he does his job, and he does it well. If we get to a 5-game playoff by winning the division, your rotation sets up nicely. You have Bieber, you have Clevinger, you have Savali, you have Pluto. That's a nice 4-man rotation. Oh, and you have Carrasco if he comes back healthy, God willing. So, that's a 5-man rotation. I didn't mention Kluber because I'm not ready to buy in him to him yet. The last 2 years in the playoffs for him have been very disappointing, and I think it dates back to 2016 when we rode him to the all the way to the World Series, pitching him 2 games in the World Series. We burnt him out. We burnt him out, and look what happened. So I'm not ready to put him in that rotation yet. We will see. The Indians, as I mentioned, had a wild, wild week. Going to New York, splitting 2 games with the Yankees in a 4-game set. Then they go to Queens and play the Mets, where they get swept, with the last game being against Noah Syndergaard. Boy, that's a tough matchup, wouldn't you say? Especially when Noah Syndergaard no-hits you through 8 innings. Then they go to Kansas City, taking 2 out of 3. Some offensive standouts were Ramirez, as I mentioned, before he got hurt, he was hitting the cover of the ball. He was just getting into his own. And this only sets him back further and further. Lindor is Lindor. You're going to get what you get out of him. He's an all-star. In fact, he's a superstar. Mercado, I like what I've seen out of Mercado in the outfield and at the dish. And I think Franmil Reyes is finally starting to get used to the American League and the American League's pitchers. The only thing that scares me about the Indians is the bullpen. Brad Hand has given up 4 out of his last 5 outings. He has given up the lead and or the game as a whole. We need to figure out what's going on with him because we can't afford this in the playoffs. I think the rest of the bullpen has been solid, but we need to figure out that closer's role. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. If he costs us a playoff game or, God forbid, a playoff series, not trading him at the deadline will be one of the biggest second-guessing mistakes for the organization. Which brings me to the organization as a whole. It was reported tonight by Ken Rosenthal that the Kansas City Royals are being sold tentatively to John Schuerholz. He was a minority owner for the Cleveland Indians, was brought in 3 years ago, and was the financial backer to bring in players such as Edwin Encarnacion, players such as Jay Bruce, give contract extensions to numerous players, and now he has put together a group headed by him to buy the Kansas City Royals. You ask, where does this leave the Dolans and the Indians? I think this leaves them in a precarious position. They need to either go for it all and win a World Series right now, or they should really consider selling the team. I've been saying this for the latter part of 4 years. The Dolans need to sell this franchise. They bought it in 2001 for $390 million. Since then, according to Forbes magazine, they are worth $1.5 billion. Can you imagine what they could get for this franchise right now if they were to sell? You know the old adage, buy low, sell high. That's what they need to do, folks. Because we've seen what they did last year in the offseason. They cut payroll. They cut payroll, and what did they have to tell the fans? Well, Francisco Lindor is up in 2 years. You better enjoy him. Essentially, they were telling us they're not going to re-sign Francisco Lindor. And what makes us think they will? He's going to command anywhere between $300 to $400 million when he's a free agent. So the Indians are going to pay that kind of money. And quite frankly, I never thought they would. Look what happened when they shelled out the money for Michael Bourne and Nick Swisher. They got no production out of either one of them. Granted, I thought Nick Swisher was just a cheerleader. And Michael Bourne, I don't know what happened to him. So the Indians were gun-shy. You know, they ponied up and paid Edwin Encarnacion $20 million for 3 years. But he fell in our laps. He fell in our lap. And then what do? 2 years later, they trade him and get back Carlos Santana and Jake Bowers. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, it brought back Carlos, who's having a phenomenal year. But it doesn't add up to me. So if I were the Dolans, I would sell the team, buy low, sell high, and get out of the baseball business. But here's the problem. There's not a bunch of billionaires running around looking to buy baseball teams, more or less a Cleveland Indians team in Cleveland. Do you know of any billionaires in Cleveland? I sure as heck don't. So that's the one hurdle that we got to get over. This reminds me a lot of when the Browns, we wanted Randy Lerner to sell the Browns. We wanted him to sell the Browns so bad because why? He was an absentee owner. He did not get involved in the franchise. And when he did, he made colossal mistakes. Carmen Policy, Butch Davis, who did lead us to the playoffs, I will grant him, but that was a mistake. And then after that, it was Romeo Crennel, Butch Davis, or not Butch Davis, Eric Mangini, on and on and on. I mean, under Randy Lerner, that was the worst ownership I've ever seen in a sports franchise in this city. I wasn't around for Ted Stepien. I've heard that was pretty bad, too. I mean, they created a rule after him where you can't trade back-to-back draft picks, and so he probably takes the cake for that. Bottom line is, I don't think the Dolans will be able to find a buyer, so we could be stuck with them. Moving to a more lighter, happier subject, the Cleveland Browns and the NFL. You know, I'm going to be quite honest with everybody. I don't watch preseason. I really don't. I think it's the most boring, tedious, and waste of time for the NFL calendar. So, what do we do? Here's what I would do if I was the NFL. I would take away 2 preseason games, but I would add 2 regular season games. So you would have 2 preseason games and 18 regular season games. I think the owners would go for that because they're not losing out on revenue sharing. The players, on the other hand, will they go for that? I don't know. Because the players like their time off. Because the preseason is so boring. We've seen it this year. The starters never even played, even in that third dress rehearsal. They don't play. Baker played 2 quarters in this game against Tampa. He went a measly 10 of 36 for 72 yards and 1 interception. Granted, 5 balls were dropped by the receivers, so that didn't help him out none. In fact, one of the balls cost the receiver his spot on the roster, Jalen Strong. The game was on Friday. He had a pass hit him in the chest, and he dropped it. He was cut that Sunday. Can't be dropping balls when you're on the back end of the roster. You just can't. Rashard Higgins, the only receiving starter that played, went 3 for 18, also had a very important drop in the end zone that could have got us a touchdown, but didn't. The running game, Kareem Hunt, 5 touches for 11 yards. Not the best effort, but you know what? I contribute that to not playing in a year for over a year, and the offensive line really wasn't that impressive. The defense, however, I gotta talk about the defense. That defensive front, I tell you what, is going to be one of the most scariest and nastiest defensive fronts I've ever encountered in all of football. You have Myles Garrett, Sheldon Richardson, Olivier Vernon, and Larry Ogunjobi on that front line. They got to Jameis Winston 7 times. And he was rattled. He was actually yelling at his offensive line, saying, "Protect me." If I'm Jameis Winston, I am very upset at the management for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I am telling them, do whatever you have to go out and get me protection. Otherwise, I'm going to retire. He could be the next Andrew Luck, and he could retire. Because he is not getting any help whatsoever. Not taking anything away from the defensive line of the Browns, but that offensive line for Tampa is not good at all. Where does that leave us for the home opener? Well, Taylor Lewan's suspended for the first 4 games of the year. He lost his appeal. He will not be dressed. He will not play in game 1 on September 8th against the Cleveland Browns. And you know who the most happiest man is on the Cleveland Browns? Myles Garrett. He is licking his chops at the fact that going up against the second string left tackle. I can hardly wait to see what this defensive line does to opposing quarterbacks. Kicking game. Austin Siebert, 4 for 4. His longest was 54 yards. Reports have came out that he has won the kicking job. I hope that's not the case. I hope Greg Joseph gets a chance Sunday against Detroit in the Dome. I really do, because I don't believe you should give the job to one guy based off one game. Give Joseph a chance this Thursday night in the Dome against Detroit in the GLC. Yes, the Great Lakes Classic. We're playing for a barge, folks. A barge. It's ridiculous. We always, why do we always end the preseason against Detroit is beyond me. Give Joseph a chance to kick in pressure situations in this last game. Don't just give the job to Siebert off one game. Yeah, keep 4 for 4, long 54 yards. But what happens on September 8th with 3 seconds left and we need a field goal to win? You're going to really trust a rookie fifth round pick? I'm not. So, I hope Kitchens does the right thing. Let's see here. Anything else of note? Let's see. Yes. The Cavaliers season starts on October 26th. The home opener is against Indiana. Do I think the Cavs are going to do anything this year? Probably not. I think they'll be a little bit better than last year. I mean, how can they not? We only won 19 games last year. But I'm not, I just honestly don't see us making the playoffs. I think we'll win 25 games. It all depends on a few things. It depends on Kevin Love, can he stay healthy? It depends on Tristan Thompson, can he stay healthy and stay away from the Kardashians? And it also depends on the kids. These kids that we drafted, the kids that we have going into their second and third years. What can they do? Can they step up? And another big thing is coaching. John Beilein, yes, while he was a great college coach, this is the first year of him being an NBA head coach. I just hope he's got a good staff around him so he can learn the game and learn how things go. Because I liked John Beilein at Michigan. I thought he was one of the best coaches in the country. Will that translate to the NBA? We don't know. Every college coach I've seen go from the NBA, go from college to the NBA does not work, with the exception of few. Billy Donovan has made it work in Oklahoma City. By the way, who's he got playing for him in Oklahoma City now? I mean, James Harden? Or not James Harden, James Harden playing in Houston. Who got traded? It was Westbrook got traded from Oklahoma City to Houston. Who was that for? Anyway, it's not important. It's not important. Houston's going to be good. City's going to be bad. Cleveland's going to be bad. So that's not important. LA's going to be good. Ohio State football. They start Saturday at noon against Florida Atlantic. Justin Fields is going to be your starting quarterback. Justin Fields, I like him a lot. I watched him when he played. He was a transfer from, I believe it's Georgia. Let me get it up here real quick so I'm not telling lies. He was from Georgia. See, I had it right. Transfer from Georgia to Ohio State. I think Ohio State's going to be the best spot for him, even though he's going to be under a first-time head coach in Ryan Day. I think Ryan Day has huge, huge shoes to fill, taking over for Urban Meyer. The Buckeyes, to me, are primed for, I don't want to say a national championship season, but they are primed for a big season. For a very big season. I think their defense is going to be very good to great. The receivers have a little bit of work to do. The running backs are going to be good. Quarterback speaks for itself. The thing with Ohio State is, and you will know this, they reload. They don't retool. Like a lot of schools in college football. They recruit very well in the states of California, Texas, Ohio, Pennsylvania. But this is going to be new for Ryan Day. Ryan Day isn't used to going out and being the recruiter. Worked well when they had Trestle. Worked well, very well when they had Urban Meyer. So let's see what Ryan Day does in his first year as head coach at Ohio State. Do I think it will work? Yes. Ohio State is one of the preeminent teams in the country. The Big Ten as a whole, I think, will be good. Not top to bottom, but the top part of the Big Ten will be good. Then it starts to taper off once you get to the Rutgers and the Nebraskas. And the Penn State. I think Penn State's going to fall off this year. So we'll see what happens in the Big Ten. Ohio State will be there in the end. Michigan's going to be there in the end. Michigan State's going to be there in the end. I also think that Indiana might be there, too. So we'll see what happens with the Big Ten and Ohio State. Well, I think that about wraps up the show today. I want to thank you all for joining me. And I got confirmation that this podcast has grown to other platforms. So it would be on Apple iTunes, Google Play, right here on Anchor. It'll be on Stitcher. It'll be anywhere where you get your podcast. You could probably find this podcast. It's the 216 podcast. It's still growing. With your support, with your help, we will make it happen. So thank you for joining me. I look forward to talking to you probably within the next couple days. I'm going to wait. Cut day for the NFL is on Saturday. The last preseason game is going to be that Thursday. So I probably won't be back with you until that Monday. I'll have all the cuts. I'll have the game breakdown of the Detroit Lions and whatever other news comes my way. Also, I will be keeping tabs on the Cleveland Indians, who did have a game tonight against the Detroit Tigers. They won 10-1. Adam Plutko got the win. Spencer Turnbull got the loss. If I'm a Detroit Tiger fan, I am screaming for people to get fired in Detroit. They are probably headed for a 100-loss season. So if you're a Detroit fan, you do not have anything to cheer about in your city, whether it be the Lions, the Tigers, or the Pistons. Well, that wraps it up. Have a good evening, and I will be back with you in probably Monday. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors about this podcast. Get it out there. Get the word out there, and you have a great evening, and I will talk to you soon.